The New Testament reading is from Mark's Gospel, chapter 15, verses 33 to 47. And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders hearing it said, "Behold, he is calling Elijah." And some ran and filled a sponge with sour wine and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." And Jesus uttered a loud cry, and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. When the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." There were also women looking on from a distance, among whom were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James the younger, and of Joseph and Salome. When he was in Galilee, they followed him and ministered to him. And there were also many other women who came up to him to Jerusalem. And when evening had come, since it was the day of preparation, that is the day before the Sabbath, Joseph Arimathea, a respected member of the council who was also himself looking for the kingdom of God, took courage and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate was surprised to hear that he should have already died. And summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he was already dead. And when he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the corpse to Joseph. And Joseph bought a linen shroud, and taking him down, wrapped him in the linen shroud, and laid him in a tomb that had been cut out of the rock. And he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid. Amen. Let us come to our God in prayer. So let's pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving grace that we could devote this day as a day of rest and worship our living God. And we thank you that you are a God who speaks to us through your word. So help us now as we listen to your word being preached, as we especially look into the death of Christ on the cross, help us to have a clear understanding of what this death on the cross means for us, and help us to see what benefit there is for us to enjoy. So help us to see your loving grace revealed through your cross, and help us accordingly praise your merciful name. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't really have much experience of seeing someone die. But the only experience I can really recall is when my grandmother passed away when I was 11 years old. She was diagnosed with stomach cancer. And by the time she found about her cancer, it was already too late for any kind of treatment. So she eventually passed away 6 months later. And in Korean culture, it's normally the responsibility of the first son to look after your elderly parents. So during the 6 months of time, it was my dad and my mother who became the primary carer for my grandmother. And because of that, I was able to closely see the process of my grandmother slowly dying by the cancer. And during the 6 months of time, one thing I cannot forget about my grandmother was her fear of nearing death. As she was slowly dying, she was really frightened and scared of her coming death. And especially, she was taking a very strong painkiller And the side effect of the painkiller was that she often became delusional and she was seeing strange things. And she often said, I see a ghost. I see a ghost trying to take away my life. And she eventually begged my mom to stay next to her all the time as she was in great fear of her coming death. Like the story of my grandmother, facing death is indeed a frightening, a scary experience. And that's why many people are so desperate to avoid death. But on the other hand, we see the great irony where death is something that we cannot simply avoid. And all of us here, whether you are young or whether you are old, we will all face death, this horrific moment of death in the end. Now, as we have this concerning reality waiting in front of us, through today's passage, we find a great ground not to be frightened of our coming death. And we see it is because it was Christ who went through this horrific moment of death on our behalf to take the punishment of our sin. And on this work of Christ, we find a great ground to save us from this scary reality of death. So for tonight's sermon, I will first try to describe this dark and this horrific scene of Jesus' death on the cross so that we could see and understand this frightening reality of death. And then in the second part of the sermon, I will aim to explain the meaning, the very meaning and the purpose of his death on the cross and how this becomes the ground for us to be saved from this frightening reality of death. So firstly, as we witness Jesus' death on the cross, what we really see from today's passage is the scary reality of death. And it is verse 34 that well reveals about this frightening reality. So when we look at this verse, right before Jesus' last breath, we see Jesus crying out with a loud voice, and he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? And this may seem like God the Father has really forsaken the Son, Jesus. And therefore, this may seem like Jesus is really blaming the Father for failing him. But we need to understand his cry in light of Psalm 22, where Psalm 22 also begins, my God, why have you forsaken me? And we notice that this Psalm of David begins with desperation, but it moves from desperation to confidence in God's deliverance. So when we understand this cry of Jesus in light of Psalm 22, we see this is not a scene where the Father has really forsaken the Son, Jesus, and Jesus is blaming the Father. But this rather serves as an expression, to show the horror of the death, the horror of the humanity's sin that Jesus is taking on the cross. So in the previous passages, we saw Jesus, the innocent Son of God, being rejected and scorned by Israel. And we saw Jesus being abandoned by his own disciples. And now, through today's passage, we see the climax, where we see Jesus on the cross brutally beaten and stabbed to death. And the purpose of his cry is to show the horror of death, the horror of humanity's sin, which was so great that he even senses his separation from God. And during this very moment of Jesus' death, we see another element that further intensifies this horrific moment of Jesus dying. And we see people mocking Jesus who was about to die on the cross. So if you look at verse 35, once Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? In Aramaic, Jesus cried out, Eloi, Eloi. And when the people around Jesus heard this, they perhaps misunderstood Jesus' word Eloi as Elijah. So they say in verse 35 that, behold, he is calling Elijah. Then in verse 36, we see one of them ran and filled a sponge with sour wine and gave it to Jesus to drink. And perhaps one of the reasons they offered this drink to Jesus was to delay his death so that they could see if Jesus could really call Elijah to save him. So this offering of the drink was not something to help Jesus. It was not something to support Jesus, but the purpose was perhaps to indulge their curiosity by delaying his death on the cross. And if you also understand this in light of Psalm 69, verse 21, where it says, "They gave me poison for food, and for my thirst they gave me sour wine to drink." So we see the offering of the sour wine to Jesus is the fulfillment of Psalm 69, verse 21. And in light of this verse, we see that this offering of the wine was really made with an evil heart to mock Jesus. So what we really see here is that this dark moment, this horrific moment of Jesus' death is further intensified by this evil mockery of the people. Now, what's also interesting with today's passage is that it is also highlighting the fact that this horrific moment of Jesus' death was a real thing. In other words, it was Jesus who really died on the cross. And we see Jesus' death was witnessed and affirmed by three different groups of people. So first, in verse 39, we see Jesus' death was witnessed by Roman centurion. And in verse 40, we also see Jesus' death was witnessed by a group of ladies, Mary Magdalene and another Mary who is the mother of James, and another lady, a lady whose name was Salome. And thirdly, from verse 42, we see Jesus' death is also affirmed by Joseph, who buried Jesus in a tomb. And as Joseph asked Jesus' body to Pilate, the conversation between Pilate and the centurion in verses 44 and 45 also affirms that Jesus' death was real. So we see why some people may deny Jesus' death and claim that it was a setup. The witness of various groups from today's passage firmly affirms that Christ is the one who really died. He is the one who really died on the cross, and through this horrific suffering on the cross. Now, as we understand this dying moment of Christ, now comes to the second part of the sermon. And as we see and feel this horrific death of Jesus, the next question we can ask is, why then Jesus go through such suffering and death? I mean, what reason or what purpose was there when Jesus went through such horrific moment on the cross? And in answer to this question, we get a clue from verses 33, where he says, "When the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour." This, in other words, means in a broad daylight, there was a complete darkness across the land. And we see darkness in Scripture is a symbol of God's judgment. And we see the example in Isaiah chapter 5, verses 29. Another example in Amos chapter 5, verse 18. And when we also look at Revelation chapter 6, verse 12, it also tells us that the sun will become black before the day of final judgment. So based on these verses, we see darkness means the judgment of God upon sinners. And when there was darkness of the whole land while Jesus was dying, this tells us that although Jesus had no sin, he suffered and died on the cross to take God's judgment on our behalf. In other words, the reason for his suffering and death on the cross was to pay the penalty of our sin. And today's passage also highlights the result of Jesus' atoning death, where verse 38 writes that the curtain in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. So the question here is, what does it mean that the curtain in the temple was torn in two? And for us to understand the meaning of this, we need to understand the layout of the Old Testament temples. In the Old Testament temple, there was a small room called Holy of the Holies. And it was a room where the people of Israel stored the Ark of Covenant. And this place represented God's presence among his people. And this room was normally blocked by a big curtain in front of the entrance. And nobody except a high priest was allowed to be in the room once a year. And this curtain was to say that you cannot be at the holy presence of God because of your sin. And anyone enters this holy place, ignoring the warning, will face death. That's what this curtain meant. But now, when this curtain was torn in two after Jesus' death, this tells us that through the death of Jesus, there is now a way. There is now a way to approach God's holy presence, where sinners receive pardon for their sin and stand before the holy God blameless through Christ. And when verse 38 also writes that the curtain was torn from top to bottom, we need to pay attention to the direction of the curtain that was torn. It was not torn from bottom to top, but it says it was torn from top to bottom. And this is to suggest that it was not the humans, but it was God. It was God who was the subject of this action. It was God who opened a new way for his people to approach his holy presence through his Son. And as the result of this, we see this holy presence of God is no longer a fearful place. It is no longer a fearful place where we face the consequence of our sin. But through the death of Christ Jesus, it is now a place where we find God's loving mercy and grace. So if you look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, it really well affirms about this truth, where it says that through our high priest, Christ Jesus, we can boldly draw near to the throne of grace to receive mercy and find grace. So we see this is the great benefit. This is the most wonderful benefit for us to enjoy when we understand this meaning and the purpose of Christ's death on the cross. And lastly, there is another important purpose in Jesus' death on the cross. And based on today's passage, we see his death serves to provide a complete picture, a complete identity of Jesus as the Son of God. So for instance, when we look at verse 39, shortly after Jesus' death, we see the centurion's confession where he says, "Truly, this man was Son of God. Truly, this man was Son of God." And what's so unique of this confession was that the centurion was the first person, he was the first person in the gospel to confess Jesus as the Son of God. And we also see that his confession was evoked by witnessing Jesus' suffering and death on the cross. So this tells us that it is the cross that defines Jesus' identity as the Son of God. In other words, Jesus' identity as the Son of God is not something that is only defined by his divine nature, but it is also defined by his humble suffering on the cross. And the purpose of this is really to highlight the great humility of the Son of God. And Paul also affirms this in Philippians chapter 2. So if you look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 6, for example, Paul begins with explaining Jesus' divine nature. He says that Jesus was in the form of God. He was in form of God. Then in verses 8, Paul further writes that it was this Jesus who came to this place in the form of flesh and humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. So when we understand Jesus' identity as the Son of God through his humble suffering, it really reveals his great humility. It really reveals his great humility, where it was Jesus who gave up his divine privilege as the Son of God to die on the cross for the sin of his people. So as we now understand this meaning and the purpose of Christ's suffering on the cross, and now comes to the end part of tonight's sermon. As we understand the meaning of his death on the cross, how should this affect our day-to-day life? As we understand the wonderful benefit we can enjoy through the cross, how should this affect our day-to-day life? And I believe this should lead us to enjoy great freedom from the fear of death. And as I mentioned in the earlier part of the sermon, we all have this fear of death. But as we understand this truth that Christ is the one who took the judgment of our sin on our behalf on the cross and experienced this horrific moment of death on our behalf, this gives us a great freedom to be free from the fear of death. And this should accordingly lead us to live a courageous life. And this further means our physical death is no longer a scary reality, but we rather anticipate the day of our death, for death is now our way to glory instead of judgment. And this is why Paul boldly confessed in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, that to die is gain. To die is gain. So as I conclude tonight's sermon, if you yet do not know who Christ is, and if you are living in great fear of coming death, I would like to invite you to see what Jesus has done on the cross for the sin of his people. And we share that it was Christ who took the judgment of our sin on the cross so that we can be saved from this terrible reality of death. And he's the one who has opened a new way, a living way for us to approach the throne of grace, the throne of God. And for us to enjoy this wonderful benefit of salvation, all we need to do is to come before him in repentance and trust Jesus as our only Lord and Savior. Amen. Let us come to our God in prayer. So let's pray. So Heavenly Father, we praise and give glory to our humble King and Savior, who went through the great suffering and death on the cross for the sin of his people. And we thank you that through Christ's death on the cross and his resurrection, the power of sin and death lost grip on those who are in Christ. And we thank you that we can be saved from this scary reality of sin and death. And as we understand this message of cross and the wonderful benefit we could enjoy through Christ's suffering on the cross, help us accordingly to be courageous, to be bold, to dedicate our life for God and his kingdom. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.